Well, that sales call didn't go too well. So here's the question. Now what are you going to do? Well, maybe I could help you with that. Hello, my friends. This is Mace Haroff, and I want to welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. And I'm here to help you to access more customers, have better sales conversations, and ultimately close more business. And the reason I'm here to provide some strategies and tactics and ideas is because medical sales isn't easy. If you're in medical sales, you already know that, and it's probably why you're here. So let's talk about the subject that I broached at the very beginning seconds of this podcast. You had a sales call that didn't go well. Now what? How do you recover from that? What do you do now? One of the most common questions that I get asked in the Medical Sales Academy forum is when sales calls don't go well. People will usually say they describe the details of the call and they talk about how it failed, how the customer didn't respond well, and they say, "What do I do now?" So this is a very common occurrence because let's be honest, most of your sales calls are not going to result in a sale, unless you are just a super, super salesperson. I mean, if your closing ratio is better than 50%, then you have an amazing product and you are an amazing salesperson. But for most people in healthcare sales, selling a product, getting the evaluation, getting the case requires multiple calls, asking for the business numerous times. So it's usually not a one call close. So here's the main thing. When you're selling anything, anything at all, especially to healthcare professionals, the first time you discuss a product with them, you're making a first impression, and it needs to be the best one possible. In other words, things have to go well. But the limitations that many medical salespeople impose on themselves is they don't prepare enough for the sales call. Now, many of you are gifted people. You have the gift of gab. You are able to think quickly on your feet, and I get that. But you want to really optimize things in your favor by preparing. Think about this as if you were going for a job interview. Let's look at it that way. Would you not prepare for the job interview? I mean, would you not try to find out everything that you could about the company, about the job, about your role as whatever your job requires in that job? You would be looking for ways to impress the interviewer or interviewers, the people on the committee, because you would know that you would probably only have one chance to do this. Guess what? Selling a product is no different. Now, you may argue with me on that, and probably some of you right now are saying, "Well, Mace, that's not true. I could go back and show the customer the same product over and over and over and over," and you would be right. But here's the difference. When you make that first call, whatever the customer's impression during that first call, whatever impression is formed, that's going to be pervasive throughout any additional conversations, unless you are able to undo or overcome that initial perception, assuming it wasn't good or it wasn't optimal. You know, so you have to prepare. You know, think of a sales call as a critical military mission. You have to have that mission mindset. Think about what soldiers do before they head out on a mission where their lives are at stake, where civilian lives are going to be at stake. They drill, they practice, they know the timing, they have contingency plans in case the original plan doesn't work out. In fact, they have multiple plans and they've drilled it dozens of times. They know exactly what they're going to do and say in every situation. What they don't do is just say, "Okay, we're going to fly a plane over enemy territory, we're going to jump out of the airplane, and we're going to figure it all out while we're parachuting down." They don't do that. I mean, right now, just the thought of that, you have to admit, would be insanity. Yet, that's what most medical sales reps do. They drive to the customer's office, and listen, They have a good understanding of the product or service that they sell. They know that pretty darn well. So they figure their knowledge and their experience in presenting in the past is going to get them through the sales call. But there's so much more you have to know about a sales call. And I've talked about that here on the podcast. And that's why in my Medical Sales Academy, there are 42 course units and 14 modules and a tons of supporting information about really how to break the sales call down. It's not simple. It's not easy. But many people think that if they just know their product well, they could get out there and wing it. This is a very, very dangerous mindset. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Let me give you an example of the typical experience that a lot of people have when they're making a call if they're not fully prepared. A year or two ago, a man named Roberto had contacted me. He found my medical sales site, and he was very distraught, understandably so. He had an important meeting with a hospital CEO, and it was about helping him to align with the value purchasing initiative that has been mandated by the Centers for Medicare, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't go well at all. And what happened was Roberto was telling me about the call. He said right after he shook the CEO's hand, he said the whole presentation went to hell. He couldn't organize his thoughts. And the CEO kept saying, I don't understand. You said you could help me, and this isn't making any sense. And Robert said he tried to explain, but the more questions he asked, the more stressed he became, and he just couldn't think. And finally, the CEO said to him, listen, you know, I was under the impression that you had the experience that could help us to achieve the initiatives we need to achieve. It doesn't sound like you do. If you can't get to the point and tell me in the next 30 seconds how the hospital's going to benefit with your help, then we need to terminate this conversation and I need to get back to work. And Roberto tried to explain, and finally he said, you know what, let's just reschedule this. This isn't working well. And he came out of there, and needless to say, he was distraught, because if you've ever tried to get in to see hospital executives, sometimes it can be very, very difficult. And just as a side to this conversation, let me tell you that if you do get in to see a hospital executive, the conversation that you need to have with them is going to be very different than the clinical conversations that you have with doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals. Because an executive thinks differently, you know, whereas a clinician might be thinking about one patient or what they're going to do with that patient tomorrow or next week or next month. A hospital executives, they're looking way down the road. You know, a CEO, for example, a lot of sales reps want to talk to CEOs about saving them money. And it's funny because they'll say, listen, you know, I could save the hospital $10 or $20 on every case. That adds up over the year. I mean, that could add up to, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Guess what? Most hospital executives don't care about saving $30,000 a year. They care about saving $500,000 a year, $1 million a year. And not only that, but they're not just looking at this year. In fact, seldom are they looking at this year. They're looking a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. So you really need to have your ducks in a row and have a very clear idea of what you're going to discuss that's going to resonate with a hospital CEO, for example. Well, clearly, Roberto didn't either know this, or he just figured, again, he could wing it. And so Roberto calls me, says, how can we fix this? And as you might guess, there's no quick fix for this, especially there was nothing I could do short of really taking him through a whole training program, which I did. He enrolled in Medical Sales Academy, and if he were to have this conversation now, it would be very, very different. But initially when he said, well, you know, how can I fix this? I said, first of all, Roberto, what did you do to prepare for the presentation? And he responded that he read some information on his company's intranet, what they post on the intranet about discussing value-based purchasing with their customers. And so I said to him, well, what did you do to organize that information? Did you create an outline? Did you practice the key talking points? Did you create questions to validate the CEO's perceived needs? And at that point, Roberto just, I was on the phone with him, but I could tell he had that deer in the headlights look by the silence on the phone. And he admitted that his preparation for the meeting was nothing more than just reading the information on the website. And because he feels very comfortable presenting to clinicians, he felt that this would have gone well. You know, he didn't think he needed to practice or test it out. And that was a huge mistake. And it's a mistake that medical sales representatives make every day. And this is why they make that mistake. I want to help you to understand this. You are very, very familiar with your product. And you may be very, very familiar with the topics that are very, very important to your customers. For example, value-based purchasing and how to deal with the reimbursement issues with Medicare and private insurance. You may have a deep familiarity with that, but there is a big difference between familiarity and competency when it comes to medical sales. Familiarity means you recognize something and you have a level of understanding. Competency, on the other hand, especially from a sales perspective, means that you have the ability to identify needs and position your product to address those needs in a confident and articulate manner. Does it make sense? I mean, most reps, the first time they're testing their competency is when they're out in front of a customer. And that is absolutely insane. Because if you only have one opportunity to make a good first impression and you don't make a good first impression, you've essentially lost an opportunity. Now, you might get the opportunity back. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit in a moment. But you might not get that opportunity back. You know, for example, Roberto was not able to get in to see that CEO again. Now, I haven't talked to him in some time, but he wasn't able to get in to see that CEO because the CEO wasn't going to let him in. Roberto's messaging was fragmented. It was erratic. And it also suggested that this salesperson was anything but confident. So if you're the CEO, let me ask you a question. A sales rep comes in, you're busy. I mean, every moment of your schedule is booked throughout the day, every day. You have a lot to do. And you gave this salesperson some time because this salesperson said he could help you. Are you going to give him time again? Probably not very soon after the last call. You're going to be very protective of your time because of what happened previously. So please understand that when you have a bad sales call, you are behind the eight ball because sometimes you could fix it, sometimes you can't. But here's what you need to do. If you didn't make a good first impression, you need to undo that first impression and replace it. It's not easy, but it can be done if you have the right sales skills. Now, I can't give you a very detailed answer here on how to undo it because supplying you with the right skills I'm talking about, it'll take a month or more to teach you that. Even more, if you want to make it a part of who you are and how you sell, because once you learn selling skills, then you have to go out and practice them, and it takes a while until they become a part of how you sell. But I'm going to try to give you a brief summary on what you need to do. Okay, first of all, prepare maximally. You probably didn't do it the last time, but now you need to prepare like you've never prepared before. You need to find out everything you can about the customer. Everything you can about your product. You have to be fully prepared to discuss it and to be able to pivot whenever something's not going in the direction you want it to go. Do not begin. Once you're able to get the meeting, and you may have to sell the receptionist or the office manager or even the customer himself or herself on giving you time again. And this could be difficult. But again, this is where good selling skills come in and positioning skills. And I'll talk about that in a moment. So if the customer says, for example, you're trying to get that appointment or you just show up at the meeting and the customer says, well, you know, look, you already showed me that. You know, why do you want to show it to me again? I already told you I'm not interested. First of all, own the fact that you didn't discuss important information initially, or you left things out, or you weren't feeling well that day. And as you had an had an opportunity to think about it, you realized that you were depriving the customer of whatever significant benefit your product offers, or you were depriving his patients of a significantly improved outcome. You could also share that new information has come to light and you want to make sure that the customer is aware of it so that it will help him, number one, whether he uses your product or not, it will help him moving forward and taking care of his patients, but it will also have some background information so that if he comes across a situation where your product might be relevant, he will know what to do. So the best way to approach this is to use a positioning approach. And again, I can't get into a lot of detail about what a positioning approach is, but I can offer you this. If you're not good at positioning, and by the way, positioning is not using the blanket positioning statement that your company has given you for any given product and using that for every customer, because if you do that, it's not going to work. Not every one of your customers is going to buy for the same reason. Therefore, if you position the same way to every customer, then you are missing many sales opportunities. But here's what you can do. You can get my free Medical Sales Positioning Resource Guide. Just go to medicalsalesguru.com. You might even be on there while you're listening to that. That's the podcast site, medicalsalesguru.com, and then click on the link below this podcast episode for March 8th, 2017. Fill out the form. Look for the confirmation email after you submit it, and then click on the confirmation link in the email you'll receive, and I will send you the guide. You must have this if you don't have this, and you can use it as a resource on every one of your sales calls. Positioning really is the key to selling effectively in healthcare sales. And if you've not seen the guide and you think you know how to position, chances are you don't. So get the guide. Again, just go to medicalsalesguru.com and find the link to get the guide under this podcast. And what you're going to find is that once you start using a positioning approach, you're going to be able to identify strong areas of agreement and you'll be able to close on those areas of agreement to move the sale forward. The last thing you have to make sure that you do, or at least the last thing I'm going to talk about in this podcast, is make sure you have a solid follow-up plan that you're able to implement to continue the conversation in case the sale doesn't close on that call. And as I said, in healthcare sales, there's a strong probability that it won't. If I haven't done anything else in this podcast, hopefully I've done this. I want to stress that sales is like almost any other performance activity. It requires preparation and practice. You can't take this lightly. There is so much on the line. Think about it. Many times, if you were able to close the sale in healthcare, it can be worth a significant amount of sales dollars, sales volume. You can't take any call, your next call, or the one after that lightly. You can't make the mistake of believing that you have enough skills to just walk in there and wing it without thoroughly preparing. And finally, you must always make the best first impression possible, because you might only get one shot. And most of the time you do. In my experience, most of the time, the way that first sales call goes is going to be an indication of your results moving forward. I'm not saying to give up. By all means, never give up. If the call doesn't go well, then use some of the ideas and tactics that I described here and try to create a do-over. But you're putting yourself behind the eight ball again by doing that, when if you make the effort to have that first call be phenomenal and to engage and to just grab a hold of the customer and have that customer realize that this is a conversation worth having. When you do that, then you have everything that you need to succeed on that call and the calls that will follow it. And I'm going to tell you what else you have. You have my gratitude for spending some time with me this week on the Medical Sales Guru podcast, because by doing that, you are telling me, telling yourself, and showing the world that you care about what you do as a medical sales professional. And whatever you do as a medical sales professional, don't forget, the patient always comes first. You are blessed to have a job where you get to make a difference. Now go out there and make one. I will talk to you again soon. Oh, and by the way, please leave a comment on this podcast. You could go to the Medical Sales Guru site and leave a comment below the podcast, or search for Medical Sales Guru on iTunes. Please leave a comment because it helps to get this out to more people. And when you do that, I say, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this because it's helping people to be more professional in healthcare sales. That's all I got. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.